Natural Solutions with Dr. J, your source for time-tested and cutting-edge natural medicine approaches to optimize your health, with your host, Dr. J. Sordian.
All right, so here I am, fortunate to be here with Byron Fong, and for this interview about the brain, and my publisher wants it to be very practical.
Practical.
So,
all right.
So, you've been in practice for
30 as long as you are.
Exactly, 30 years.
30 years.
And so,
30 odd years.
You've worked with people who've had memory and brain issues too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Right.
So, what kind of things do you think are, for example, with acupuncture?
Yeah.
In what ways have you noticed acupuncture to be helpful for people?
Well, I think it wakes them up.
It wakes them up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gets them better. Clears their mind, foggy thinking, increased circulation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so you can say it opens up their pathways so that they have free flow of energy and they can function better physically and mentally. And of course, the mind is related to the body, so without a good body, you're not going to have a good mind.
Mm.
So you have to be physically, your body has to be physically in shape, fit as well as possible for your mind to work.
Mm. So so that's with respect to acupuncture. So you think there's a particular frequency or a duration with which people should be doing it to maintain their brain health?
Oh.
Like what would be the ideal frequency and duration that someone should do acupuncture in order to really get the full benefits of it with respect to the brain and memory and stuff?
I would say probably a minimum of at least once a month.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And that's for like a year?
And that depends on the individual person, what their mental state is. If they have more of a problem, then it might be once a week. But if it's a person who is somewhat normal, depends on their age, about once a month. And of course, prevention is the major thing. And that has to do with your lifestyle and your diet. And there are also herbs you can take too to optimize your brain's cognitive sense.
Hmm. So, what kind of herbs do you think? Herbs or other things are?
There's been a lot of studies on ginkgo.
Ginkgo,
yeah, and also ginseng, probably bakke, but really. You have to look at the patient's overall constitution, and TCM requires that you treat their constitution to tonify and balance them, and then the body will respond optimally, and you fix their deficiencies in that manner. And Chinese medicine is very. It's not usual like Western medicine. You go after just one deficient organ, which is interrelated.
So would you say that there might be particular constitutional types that are more prone toward memory or brain issues or decreased cognitive function?
That's a good question. But I would say a person who is not too physically active, rather sedentary, will have a decreased function. Person with a poor diet has a decreased function. There's a lot of research now showing the brain has a lot of many omega-3s, DHA omega-3s, and if you have deficiency in that in your diet or during gestation, you will be suboptimal, subpar. You could be smarter. You're okay where you are, but could have been better.
So, So as far as these different things, that being sedentary and the poor diet and omega-3s, is that something
and
that
also, poor prenatal chi, TCM prenatal chi. So you inherited the chi, insufficient chi and jing from your parents. And that means that your present state of eating and being and lifestyle has to be more than optimal to make up for it.
Oh, very interesting.
And that's some people would never make up for it.
Mm.
Oh. Let's see. Thank you. A wheat free flour.
Ah. So
of course,
we just got our food here, but lately you've been quite interested and focused on the whole gluten area.
Gluten and actually more of the cognitive, optimal cognitive health, based upon the research of Dr. What's his name?
Perlmutter?
Perlmutter.
Was that him?
Perlmutter.
Is that him?
That's him,
yeah.
Yes.
So, according to Perlmutter, but you've been following this anti-gluten diet for how long now? 3 months? Or?
About a year now. I actually started with Dr. William Davis. What the wheat belly?
Oh, that's right.
Talking about how the wheat has a higher glycemic index than sugar.
Mm.
So people are getting a lot of extra calories, they can't get it off. but Dr. Perlmutter brings it one step further, not just in terms of diet, but also in terms of brain health, where excess carbohydrates causes a glycation of all the proteins in the body, including the brain.
Glycation?
Glycation, yeah, sugar binding to all the proteins.
Mm.
And causing loss of neurological function. So the idea is to really cut down on carbohydrates.
So is any kind of carbohydrates, or is it more gluten?
Excess carbohydrates.
Excess.
Really, especially gluten.
But so, carbohydrate-wise, it could also be fruits and vegetables, stuff like that?
Too much, yeah. The blood sugar, direct correlation between increase in blood sugar as measured by the hemoglobin A1C level and the loss of brain tissue per year, about 0.5% per year. For every increase in the step of A1C level.
A whole point?
No, about one quarter to 0.5% per year.
Wow. No, so if the A1C is elevated.
Yeah.
And that's above like 5 or something?
Optimal is about 4.8.
Okay. So anything over 4.8.
Right.
Will then will start the decrease of brain function by a quarter to a 0.5% a year?
Decrease of brain mass.
Decrease of brain mass.
Right.
And is that gray matter?
Just brain mass. Yeah. Not sure what it is.
So 0.25 to 5.5% per year.
Mm-hmm.
And how much brain mass can someone lose before they're really rather dysfunctional or they have
dysfunctional,
severe signs?
But that's pretty subjective, I think.
Yeah, that's very true.
If they already start up with a high level of cognitive cognitive function like a, say, linguistic professor is way above a normal person. And he, even though he may decrease, he still is better than every person.
That's interesting.
Back to what mask. What mask is his loss. His initial brain function is so high that any loss will be masked by his initial value.
And so
he might notice it, but it won't show up on any test.
So are there particular cognitive tests that you think are best in order to create baselines so that one can then create a progressive chart or something? Relative, for example, you said, like someone who's a linguistics professor or something, and you think that the ability to communicate in various languages is actually an advantage with respect to brain function if it's degenerating. You actually, if you're linguistically talented, you'd be able to have a slower degeneration.
It seems that the knowledge, ability to speak in several languages provides the most complex neural pathways in brain development.
Wow, nice statement. I like that.
I'm sure there are tests. You know, Dr. Perlmutter's website probably has some tests that you probably could download and check these things out with.
Okay. So one of the things, if we're talking about prevention of brain problems, as one gets older, then based on that particular statement you made, it sounds reasonable that we might want to encourage children to learn as many languages as possible at an early age.
Absolutely.
So that their brain may actually have a greater capacity to and a greater degree of tolerance to loss of brain mass because so many different areas are perhaps firing at one time compared
right.
to other people.
There's a certain window of opportunity actually that a young person can readily learn the languages, and then the window closes and it's much harder.
So when do you think that is? Is it a time range?
I can't remember, 8 to 11 years old. Maybe 5 to 8 years old. Pretty young.
That's interesting.
Young person actually can learn unlimited languages if they were given the chance.
They can?
Yeah. Should I actually know the kids I can try it out?
Yeah.
Or her.
Audrey's up for that.
Mm-hmm. One's enough.
Yeah. Okay, so practically speaking, you've been doing this low or no gluten diet and low carb diet for a year. Mm-hmm. And what kind of positive benefits have you noticed?
Well, right away I noticed that my stomach isn't bloated up as much after a meal.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that I was able to break through the weight loss. I had reached a plateau of about like 135 pounds.
Uh-huh.
138, 135 pounds. I couldn't get below that threshold until I eliminated all wheat. Then I was able to break down below that to 130. It's 133.
So that's the weight arena. How about, and of course that has positive benefits as far as reducing risk factors for a variety of things.
And my memory seems to be a little better, I think.
Huh. Are there any other things that you're doing besides that?
Running.
Running, but you've still been running. You've been doing
that. Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of something you've been doing your whole life, right?
Yeah.
That or bicycling?
Increase my running.
Ah.
Hmm. Want some more? Want some?
Tea? Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, want me to go get it?
Is that tea? Let's see. What is this stuff? Perlmutter's.
And Perlmutter's book is called...
Perlmutter's The Grain Brain.
Grain Brain.
Yeah. Prevention is really the key. Prevention. More important than trying to catch up after the fact. Mm.
So, do you think there are other kinds of substances that can be helpful, like heparinine? Or NAD?
I heard about that. I haven't really tried that, though.
Proline-rich polypeptides.
Yeah, I haven't really tried it too much. What do you think?
It's hard for me to say. I've only taken a few rounds. Maybe I've taken, four rounds of 30 each over the past year and a half or 2 years. Of the metagenic cognitive things?
Consistently?
For maybe 20 days, and then I'll do it again, and then pick it up, and I go, oh, what are these here? No.
Wait, is that vimperazine? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, okay. What it is, cognitive has proline-rich polypeptide complex, and then they changed the formulation, and they added heparazine.
Okay.
In addition to the proline rich, and it's still at the same price. So you actually get more stuff. And I don't know if they decide that they work synergistically to enhance the effects of both. I'm not sure. Probably.
Because I think that health concerns sells both products, but they're separate.
I know that Apex has it in a lot of their products. So, I think that's probably because the proline-rich polypeptide complex, from my understanding, is supposed to help to prevent some of the amyloid plaques from happening. Yeah. So, and sort of concluding here, what would you say that parents, what kind of advice would you give parents now based on your personal and professional experience as far as helping their kids to preserve and enhance their brain function as much as possible?
Immediately, the diet. No added sugar, reduce the carbohydrates, increase the omega-3 DHAs, good fats, keep them active, open the computer, and teach them several languages.
Nice! Quote! So I'll find some quotes I'm going to use in my book for you, okay? Is that all right?
Sure.
All right.
What's the name of your book again?
Thank you, Dr. Fong.
Thank you. What's the name of your book again?
It's called...
Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to be informed of upcoming podcasts, please subscribe to Natural Solutions with Dr. J so you know exactly when the next episodes will be coming up. Thanks a lot and have a great day.